97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Mark Cox, I'm Bo Matthews, and we've got Carl Middleman, who is our DJ extraordinaire. What is the reference of this song? I always have to ask because I'm like a one-lane guy.
All right, so this song is called Three Strange Days. It used to be, for people who don't know, I play the music at the blues games and I blow the horn.
Yes.
So when the blues games were on KMOX, it was Chris Kerber and Kelly Chase, right. And they had a show called The Battler and the Broadcaster, and that was their, like, show. And, and when they were on KMOX, they did that, and this was their theme song. It is by School of Fish.
Oh, there's
and so
the connection.
That is the longest reach that you could get.
You were able to connect the dots, though. I'm impressed.
We actually, you know, we play fishing songs all the time, and I said, let's do something not as
obvious.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Okay. We are definitely not obvious.
Well done, yeah.
You know what? I'm going to throw it in here. This segment brought to you by Razorback Armory, your gun concierge in DePere. I'm in a race with somebody else, a chief of police, to who's going to get their silencer first. We filed our paperwork about the same time, but the silencer shop kiosk kind of makes it quicker. So check it out, RazorbackArmory.com. Go see them in DePere. Jesse and Brad do a great job, and tell them Bo sent you. So this guest that we have for this segment, we're going to the water. We're going fishing, and I see this guy. I follow him on Facebook, and I've known him for years. Had you ever, Mark, been to a place called the Doghouse Restaurant?
I have not.
Oh,
no.
I miss it so bad. But I bring it up because Troy and his beautiful wife opened up the Doghouse Restaurant in DeSoto. Then they opened up in Festus Crystal City. Pandemic hit. But there's hope that the Doghouse may come back. But in the meantime, this big boy has been a fisherman and a fish lure inventor. Troy DeRoos from Pole Shaker. How are you, my brother?
Just fine. How about you, my friend?
I'm glad you're surviving. So,
hey, got to do what you got to do.
And you are obviously doing what you got to do. Bricklayer, concrete guy by trade, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, but you got away from that because you wanted to be a restaurateur, and then that all turned sour with the pandemic crap.
yes, whoever would have thought something like that would do that. But
yeah, no kidding. But
crazy.
Your first passion is absolutely going to be hunting and fishing. You created your own lure. When did you do this, man?
when the pandemic hit, as you both know, you guys all know that, you know, you couldn't do nothing. So we were just sitting at the house bored. And we just decided there wasn't nothing to do. So other than fishing, we was like, hey, let's get some stuff and create our own little line of fishing lures and things. And that's where we took off. I never painted before ever with an airbrush, you know, other than, you know, the house or, you know, the restroom or whatever the wife wanted us to do.
Right.
And, therefore I got me a whole set up there and started airbrushing these lures in, and I got pretty decent at it, actually, and that's pretty much where it stemmed from is all right there.
Well, I think that's pretty awesome, and Troy, great to meet you. Mark Cox here. It is
nice to meet you.
Yeah, and I wonder, because obviously I've done quite a bit of fishing through the years. I've often looked at these lures and thought, who in the world came up with that idea? So what do you think of when you're making a lure? Obviously, it's dependent on the fish you want to catch and how deep they may seek out food, that sort of thing. What goes into it beyond that? How do you determine colors and all that kind of stuff?
Color is determined by the color condition and the water condition. So the brighter, like if the water is murky, you know, yeah, you want to use you try to shape and size the lure, the color. If you're fishing with blades, like a spinnerbait, you know, you try to match all that to the water condition itself. And that's what you do. You just sit down and like, okay, we're going to fish a super clear lake, you know, this week. And we need to make our baits for that. Muddy waters, you know, there's certain kinds and colors and shapes, sizes, all that stuff plays a very important factor in all that. So With that being said, it's just kind of like one of those. I like painting the bluegill pattern color on my crankbaits, you know, because that's a natural bait fish.
Yeah.
And or like a shad color. So I just sit down and I Google images up and say, okay, well, this is my own little deal here. And I paint it myself as close as I could get to the real life. Sometimes it don't happen like that. And, you know, sometimes that's what the fish want. You know, sometimes it's just an oddball that swims by there, you know, when you're fishing. And I got some that I painted and they're just horrible. Like the grandson, you know, when I first began, the grandson, that's his favorite lures are the most ugliest ones I got
right.
in my trays to fish with. But
now, Troy, I got a question. So all your life you've been buying lures at, you know, sporting goods stores or wherever you shop, or Walmart, whatever. Did you just always feel that there was something missing, or is this more of a I'm a hunter. I want to you know, create my own firearm. You know, I don't understand what was missing on the shelves that you couldn't get that you wanted to create yourself and to market it, to sell it.
It was just the concept, basically. Like, you know, you go to Dunn Sporting Goods, that's where I buy a lot of stuff from, and or Walmart.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you look at that stuff up there and you know, there's always crosses your mind like, oh man, I bet that would be easy to do. Or, you know, like, it would be easy, but I'll tell you now, it's not real easy. If you really want to look at some of the detail on these things, you know, you think, oh, it take me a couple minutes to do that. No, it takes a couple hours to do that. So just for one lure. So, that's where you got to learn to buy a certain stencil or something like that, you know, to make your time faster, instead of taking the 2 or 3 hours to make it, you know, it's a 20-minute deal then. But there's always that thought whenever you pick a lure up at the store and you're like, wow, just look at that. And then that crosses your mind too, you know, look at this and I can do that. It's pretty neat whenever you can come real close to one that you really like, and then you go out and you fish and you catch one or two or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really neat, and it's a good feeling, especially when you do catch fish on your own lures.
Yeah, Troy DeRoos, our guest from Pole Shaker Lures. You know, I'm looking at the pictures of some of the lures here, and looking at the body of them, do you make those from scratch? Do you buy the base and then make the lure yourself? Tell us about the process.
Yeah, we buy the base of it and then build it out from there.
Okay, all right.
So it's kind of like a taxidermy, you know, mounting a head. They get a form,
yes.
Right? Similar to that.
Yes.
But more
similar
like,
to that, yes.
But more like painting on rice.
Yeah.
Yep.
Painting your name on rice.
I do have I got a fella that's got a, he makes plastic stuff on a 3D printer.
Yeah.
So me and him is in the works on my own. It's a lot of work. There's a lot of stuff that get involved there, but
you come by this honestly. I talked to Brian Wertle. Do you know him by name?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Brian's a good buddy of mine, and he said, yeah, his cousin has a bait company called Hogs. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And so do you fish with him, or is he your competition?
No, I fish with him. That's my first cousin.
Oh, okay.
So no matter what, it'd never be competition ever, just because that's my family.
That's family.
So,
okay.
And that's the way that has to work. He might not say the same. He might say, heck no, I'm going to cut his line every time I see him. You know,
so.
But yeah, he does the plastic wear, you know, like the plastic crawls, the plastic worms,
okay,
some crappie jigs and stuff like that there. So if you're interested in anything like that, you can look him up on there. Pretty good fella right there.
Has he been instrumental in getting you to where you are with Pole Shakers?
We started almost at the same exact time, and we both kind of sent pictures to each other. He sent me a picture of some crawls and worms that he's done. He's like, check this out. And I was painting, and it was like, well, look what I'm doing. So it was almost, neither one of us knew that we were doing it, but it was almost kind of ironic because we sent pictures to one another of what we was doing.
Wow.
Pretty much. You know, he sent them, and then I sent mine. That's how that worked out.
Yeah.
But it was pretty cool, you know. But we both got people using our baits all over the states. You know, he's he's really taken off. He's got like some crappie stuff that's going on. Crane baits you can use, spinner baits you can use for crappie, but not a lot. Most of the time they're like more of the small jigs, finesse type stuff.
Right.
So, but that's, I graduated into some spinner baits, and we've been doing the topwater, buzz bait, spinner baits and that kind of stuff there too, to kind of get open up the horizon just a little bit.
Wonderful.
Wondered, I was going to ask what was shaking the pole. I saw some pictures here that looked like some largemouth bass and maybe some smallmouth. Is that what you're targeting?
Both.
Both. Okay.
Yep.
I could have sworn.
You know, I got like a 65-pound flathead I've caught on one of my baits.
Wow.
So it just depends on what it comes across. But, they do catch fish, and it don't necessarily have to be a bass family. You know, it could be crappie, any of that.
Well, it's really cool to get an update on Pole Shakers. The guy is passionate. He's like you, Mark. He's got a good woman behind him that is supporting anything. I mean, if he wanted to scoop ice cream for a living, she'd be right next to him.
That's seriously. Fantastic.
Yes. Our Pole Shakers is a full trademarked deal there too, so at that we now own that, and it's ready to rock and roll. Unfortunately, it's still hard to get a lot of stuff due to the pandemic, even though we've been involved in it for a heavy year and a half, or close to 2 years. There's still stuff that we can't get and have not been able to get, so it makes it kind of difficult to go and market a bunch of good stuff and when I can't get it. So
where are you selling? Where are you selling, Troy?
I'm just right now, if and when, it just depends on their shipment, Dunn Sporting Goods.
Okay.
If they're swamped with stuff in there, then I don't heckle them too much, but whenever they're ready for me, they let me know, and I just take a set of stuff up there, and sell them up there.
Can people buy them online?
A lot of individual.
Can people buy them?
Not at the moment. Okay. Yeah, you can just contact me on my Facebook page, and we can talk then or there. We're still... again, back to the not getting a lot of stuff. I don't feel I want to open a shop up and not be able to get what you need. And, I'd rather just talk to you personally and tell you what I can and can't get, and we'll work off of that.
That's how Phil Robertson started with his duck calls. Just call me. Order them, and I'll, send the money. I'll send them on in the mail to you. Well,
yes,
Troy DeRusse.
It's got to work for now.
Absolutely. Congratulations on reinventing yourself once again. And keep me posted on the doghouse when that happens, if it happens. Love to hear that. And I'll take Mark out I'll take Carl too. To the doghouse, because it's great food. But again, Troy, thanks for joining us. It's on Facebook. Go to Pole Shakers USA, and you will find it. And I really thought, Carl, that you were going to be playing Nickelback. That's what I really thought you were going to play.
Why?
Shaking poles.
Is it a Nickelback thing? See,
let's not go there.
Working in hockey, I'm tired of Nickelback.
Oh, whatever. It's like Arby's. Everybody hates Arby's. No, they don't.
No,
they love
don't.
Arby's.
Curly fries are great.
And they love Nickelback. Troy, be good, brother.
Hey, take care. Thank you.
All right. Great to get him on here. Boy, that gets you ready, doesn't it, to do some fishing?
I love when people are passionate about stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And he is definitely one that is that.
And when you can make a living doing it, it's that much better. Like if you're in radio, right?
What? You can make money at this?
I'm an Uber driver. I moonlight as an Uber driver. All right. Well, thanks for a great show. I enjoyed that.
Absolutely. Hey, have a great week. Thanks for
listening
to Second Amendment Radio.
Happy Easter weekend.
Absolutely. We'll see you next weekend on Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.